I guess there are moments that words just only seem to disturb. I think a moment like this for our congregation today, as we sit together again in a congregational family without being separated. Now, the moment like that is a moment of quiet reflection. Maybe a moment in which we think about one of the Psalms, "Let God be praised with reverence deep, who daily comes our lives to steep, in bounties freely given, freely given." He cares for us. Our God is He who would not fear His majesty in earth as well as heaven. I was thinking of those Jews when they came back from captivity. Very tiny, tiny, tiny little bit like that this morning. And in Psalm 124, they sing, "When in might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity. In transports of joy and mirth, we praise the Lord of all the earth." Can you imagine what these people felt like now when they sang that? For all 70 years of captivity and separation and no churches and no synagogues and nothing. Now, to be filled now this moment with that mirth. And let it be our prayer as it follows in that same psalm again. "Refresh us, Lord, with Thy reviving love, and be Thy blessing poured in mercy from above. By grace, revive our hearts again, as streams refreshed by copious rain." That must be our prayer. This is a day for praising God, but this is also a day for praising You. I'm sure I speak on behalf of my brothers in the consistory. We've had made some decisions that weren't always easy to make. We were having to show the leadership. And we as consistory are thankful to God that You have cooperated with us and with each other. You've accepted it. Even though we sometimes had opposing views and all became a little frustrated, sometimes with mandates and whatever. And as Paul boasted about the Corinthians and their willingness to give, so we may boast about Your willingness to cooperate. Boast is the word that the Bible uses, and we could use that too. And Paul writes, "As the love and the zeal of You provoked very many, I pray that Your cooperation and Your willingness to bear this may also be a testimony to many others." There's many churches who have not gone through this very well. There's many churches who have splintered away. They have driven apart about all this, what we've gone through in a few months. And we have tremendous reasons, my friends, to be humbled and to be thankful that God has kept us from that. Let's merge together. Let's learn together. Let's love each other. Let's stand together. Let's come closer together. Let's connect deeper when we stand shoulder to shoulder and stronger together. And so a certain thank you also for all of those of you who have opened their homes in these last months with the inconvenience that that caused. You were willing to do so Sunday after Sunday. And for those who set up the school, and I think that mostly is Ronald in every Saturday, thank you for that. And it's also wonderful today to sit in a clean church. Thanks for all those lovely helpers that were able to do that this past week. And if you didn't have a chance to do it this week, we'll see you next year, hopefully, to share that with one another. Now let's stand before the Lord God and begin our service with prayer and receive His blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in Thee. In Thee who has made the heavens and the earth. In Thee who keepeth truth and faithfulness forever, never forsaking any of the works of Thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now raise our hearts and voices together with Psalm 430. Hallelujah, praise ye God, in His temple shout His Lord, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Let's do 430, all three verses.
scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus 20, where we can find the words of the law of the Lord. And let us respond by singing Psalter 321, stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed the perfect in the way, who from God's law do not depart, who holding fast the word of truth, seek him with undivided heart. And what follows? Stanzas 1 and 2 of 321, after the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or anything that is like this above in heaven, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 118 for the meditation for this morning. Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endured forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endured forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endured forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed his light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So far the scripture reading.
Now that every one of us can join this special moment, there are some isolating families, sadly, at home this morning. We will try to remember you also in prayer as you are missing this special Sunday morning. So let's together seek the Lord now. Beloved God and Father of heaven and of earth, very words cannot express our joy in being here together again. It's been many months, Lord, that thou hast seen us separate in various settings to worship thee. But nothing is like being one in the same building, joining our hearts and voices in singing and prayer. Great God, will thou give that in this morning hour thou wilt enable us all to express our thanks to thee with an heart that stands in awe of thee And as the poet was exhorting us, or rather as thy Spirit was exhorting us to the poet, that we would praise thee and bow in adoration and would sing, Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We don't deserve this. We are not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And we are again given mercies, Lord, that fellow Christian brothers and sisters have never yet experienced. And we have always experienced that it become common to us. And oh God, may this little interruption that we have experienced and this small inconvenience that thou hast laid upon us not fade away, but refresh us in a deepened appreciation for the liberties and the opportunities. Yes, Lord, thou hast heard our murmurings. Yes, thou hast heard our grumblings. Yes, thou hast seen our sin. And we want to first begin this morning with asking thee forgiveness. There is really no need for us to grumble. There was no need for us, Lord, to be upset. Every Sunday, thou brought to us the gospel. Every Sunday, we were able to listen. And so I'm sorry, Lord, I've also complained. And I give the whole congregation for a moment silent opportunity to ask forgiveness. And we trust, Lord, that thou art willing to cleanse us and to wash us and to give us a new beginning and to give us a new start as we may here this morning be around thy word again without any hindrances of mandates or persecution. And yet, Lord, we think of those families that looked forward to this morning to join us and now are struck down with COVID or other sickness again and hindering today for them to be with us. And so please, Lord, give us grace today to rejoice as we drink in these blessings, and we pray that thou wilt be mindful also of the multiple thousands of churches who experience the real hardship, even as it goes on today in places where war and where persecution and where famine and social instability beyond what we can imagine is daily the occurrence. We also thank you, Lord, that none so far have had serious complications due to the COVID, needing hospitalization or even leading to death, especially our vulnerable members who thou hast spared. And some of us may indeed still struggle with the tiredness or even depression, but Lord, we pray that thou would give complete healing and strength to recover. And again, we thank thee also for the willingness in which as congregation thou hast enabled us to bear one another's burdens and to also honor the spiritual leadership decisions, Lord, that we needed to make, struggling to know what to do and where to go. But thou hast given us all the grace and wisdom. Thank thee. Thank thee so much for that, gracious God. And for not splitting our congregation apart as other congregations have experienced on all this. And we just beseech Thee, O God, that Thou unite us in the heart, in the faith, in the love for the truth, for Christ, and that we may be with one another, walking in His footsteps, in our families, in our church family, in our community, wherever Thou art placing us. We pray that Thou would keep us mindful that we are fragile, that we are dependent on Thee. And Lord, that Thou have given us all a strong reminder that with a virus Thou can lay a world flat and disturb all the activity. And dear God, it doesn't appear that much of the world has heard Thy voice in this. And we ask Thee still, Thou would give all nations to know they are but men, and all nations to acknowledge that Thou art God alone. And dear Lord, bring yet that blessing also upon this our nation. And so as we are now here to gather in praise and thanksgiving, we're also here to hear Thy word. Chase away all the chills in our soul, and kindle in us, O God, a genuine devotion to Thee. Allow us now to be here unmoved and unstirred and untouched and unaffected by Thy word. And to that end we plead on the merits of Jesus Christ that Thou would send Thy Holy Spirit among us. That Thou would, Lord, let Him also be this morning taking us by heart and hand. And let the Scriptures not only be opened, but our hearts be opened for the Scriptures. Lead us to see, in this glimpse of the Scripture, the glories of Jesus Christ. And Lord, let the light that is in Him expose the darkness that is in us. But let the light that shines from Him also chase away the darkness that is in us, and feed our hearts with the heavenly bread, and turn our hearts away, O God, from all the cravings of the earthly. O, may this day be a real oasis, away from all the busyness of life and all the distractions of work and all the challenges that we may face in our day-to-day life. Lord, let it be an oasis where we may sense Thy presence as uplifting, Thy word as nourishing, Thy Spirit as leading us, showing us and guiding us in footsteps in the way of salvation. And make the home where some of us are listening, Lord, a sanctuary as well, where Thy word is sweet and powerful to convict or to nourish and to convert and to sanctify. Oh, bring a blessing, especially also in those, Lord, who are sick with weakness in body and depressed and weary, maybe overwhelmed with health issues or family needs or employment concerns or other worries or burdens in their lives. Please, Lord, minister to us and to them in all those needs. Oh, Thou graciously anoint all of us who are called to lead the worship services today. May the unction of the Spirit be upon us, and that we may preach joyfully, faithfully, with faith. And may the word of God indeed be baptized with the Holy Ghost, convicting and penetrating, and that it may arrest us and it may guide us in the right direction. Lord, especially pray for those who are in evangelism work and missionary situations. We pray for Brother Johan and his wife and all others like him in this country or abroad, involved in the Christian ministry and pray especially for those dealing with refugees coming to their homes and their churches in all the countries around Ukraine. That, Lord, not only there are hundreds of other places where people are fleeing their land and violence and hunger and needs. And we just pray indeed, Thou would awaken mankind from all their selfish, focused lives to become involved in helping our neighbor. As we just heard this morning, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not to kill them and not to steal from them. Not to ignore them and neglect them. Oh God, bless us all and bless our world with such revival. And so hear us then, Almighty Lord, Thou alone art our refuge and our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 227. One of those old pilgrim psalms of those who cannot come to church. I think that was his circumstance. O Lord, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For thou my heart is yearning in banishment afar. We're going to start collections again in person today. And you may continue to do that also, of course, via online. But it will be after the service at the exit. So it will not be at this moment. We'll continue to do it for now at least. At the exit. So may the Lord also bless your gifts and giving as you have. And I should really try to remember to thank for that, because we've been tremendous giving the last month. Also for Ukraine. It's just amazingly humbling. Our God has opened our hearts and minds to give for the needs. Not only there, but also for the congregation. So let's pray that I be reminded to thank the Lord for that tonight. Or this morning still. 227 then. Verse 1, 2, 3. Matthew Henry, he said some time in his writing, "Be not afraid to say too much in the praises of God." All the danger of saying is in saying too little and not too much. And that's something for us to remind ourselves of, isn't it? And one way to praise God is to sing, as we just did very well this morning. To sing, Luther says, somewhere that chases the devil away. That depends what singing, of course, and what music you use. But singing is a wonderful means of grace by which the Holy Spirit ministers to us as well as to others as we sing to them the words and the praises of God. And I know we all feel like singing when happy moments of our life take place. Like this morning, and we feel like singing and praising. We ought to also sing when the opposite happens. When dark and difficult days are ahead of us. No, and then we ought not to only sing the songs of lamentation and confession, but even then are we to sing praises to God just when it seems so unfitting to do. And none gave us a better example of that than our Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you to turn to Matthew 26 this morning. And just read with you the 30th verse of that chapter. Almost, and this is a forgotten verse, in the middle of this account of the Lord's Supper. So Matthew 26, verse 30. "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." May I this morning draw your attention to Jesus singing. Let's think about when. Our text tells us, right then, when they went out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sang. And secondly, what did he sing? A hymn, our text tells us. So let's together ponder this moment in our Lord's life. That he is singing. And not in a context like ours this morning, where we feel joyful as we are gathered together in the house of prayer and praise. It is true that we often read about the Lord Jesus praying in the Bible, as we saw last week, Sunday, on the sermon in the morning. But only one tells the Bible that he sang. Oh, undoubtedly he sang at his synagogues as they did singing. Undoubtedly he participated in other moments of singing, but it's only recorded once for us that we know the Savior sang together with his disciples. Now we ought to take notice of that. Why else would the Holy Spirit put such a little bit of information for us out here in the Scripture? So our first thought is, when did he sing? Right before the night when he is going to be betrayed, arrested, taken from one to the other in mock trials, right before the night, when he'll be forsaken by all his disciples and accosted by soldiers and religious leaders and violated and shamed and finally killed on the cross, then Jesus sang. Picture him there, seated with his disciples in the upper room, as he leads his group of students into singing. This is an amazing moment as we think about what is coming. And what are we to learn from that, friends? When they had sung a hymn, what are we to learn from that? It's when it is hardest to pray, we are to pray. And when it is hardest to sing, we ought to sing. And we ought to raise our hearts in singing with one another. It feels unnatural to take, it feels natural to take our Psalter and to say, let's sing again. Let's sing another song. Let's raise the voices up again. Let this building reverberate with our singing. It feels natural on a day of joy. We didn't feel like singing. And we're sitting in our small little groups. It didn't go so well. And the first time we all felt glum. And we didn't feel like singing then. We felt like lamenting perhaps, or grumbling and mourning instead of praising. But our Lord didn't. He sang. Right on this night, when he's about to be crucified. You know, if you look to the scriptures, you'll notice and you observe that Jesus isn't the only one who meets trial with singing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we have the Apostle Paul and his companion Silas sitting in prison. They're undoubtedly in pain. They've been beaten that day. They're laying on this floor with their feet in the stocks, a very uncomfortable position. They've been shamed as well, haven't they? The injustice is so gross. They've only been helping a young woman who was possessed of a spirit, and here they end up in jail, and they're sleepless. And then we read, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang. They sang praises unto God. Notice that. They just didn't sing. They sang praises unto God. They were singing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what it means, right? Praising the Lord. At that moment. Singing. They didn't have a Psalter, by the way, kids. What's that mean? They knew him by heart. They were accustomed to sing. Maybe they walked along singing as they walked from village to village. But they were singing in that night. Are we like that? Are we meeting our trials with lifting our hearts and voices to God? Or are we dragged down and feel discouraged and feel like grumbling? That's where we went wrong a lot of times. We have laid that before the Lord so we may trust He has forgiven. But this is what we are to learn today. These men are singing men. But congregation, what we read in Matthew 26 verse 30 goes infinitely farther. Because Jesus is here going to the cross. He is facing the greatest suffering heaven and earth have witnessed ever. If you and I would stand on Golgotha's cross, I think you and I would feel sick to our stomach seeing the sight of these naked men hanging there in the utter agony of their bodies revolting with the pain. We would be sick in our stomach. And the Savior is singing. A moment later, he is agonizing as he crawls on the ground in Gethsemane with the prospect of what's coming. And yet here he is singing. It's moments. And he will be taken and rejected by the leaders. It's a moment that his Father would put all the sins and all the guilt of his church on him personally and impute upon his account all the gross violations of the law that we, his people, have committed. There's a moment coming in a few moments that he will be that Passover lamb, and the Father would take his word, a sword, and slay him. And he is singing. Singing. You see, in a moment he is going to exchange the upper room where he is now gathered in peace and quiet for the lowest of hell. And our Savior is singing the praises. You say, how could he sing? That's because he believed what he sang. He believed what he sang as he was singing it. You say, well, what did he sing? It says in our text, he sang a hymn. That doesn't tell us a whole lot, does it? It doesn't. If we didn't have more than the Bible, we would be in the dark about what he sang. But we're not. Well, let us first sing together before we consider that. So 134. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. 134, all three verses. when they had sung a hymn. The Bible doesn't tell us what that hymn was, but the Jewish tradition tells us that around the Passover meal, the Jews would sing the Hallel Psalms from Psalm 113 all the way to 118. As the meal opened, they would sing 113 and 114. And as the meal progressed, they kept adding. And right before the end, they'd sing Psalm 117 and 118. And I wouldn't mind if you would open your Bibles for a moment to those Psalms. It are these Psalms that our Savior sang. And though they're sung every year by all the Passover attendees, they were never sung like the one who sang on that night. Because the one who was singing there in the upper room was the one of whom the poet wrote. Let's take a look at Psalm 115, verse 2. Wherefore should the heathen say, there is now their God? It's only a few hours that he hears that as he hangs on the cross. If thou art the Son of God, there is now your God. He's going to experience this. Psalm 116 sings about the sorrows of death can pass me, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. It's only a few moments that Jesus is going to go into that verse, as none has ever gone that deep. Psalm 118, friends, I'm just only picking a few verses here and there, verse 11 and 12. He's singing this right there as he goes out of that room. They can pass me about. Yea, they can pass me. They surrounded me. In verse 12, they can pass me about like bees, stinging. This is what he's going to experience in a few moments. In verse 22, the stone which the builders refused, he's going to be examined again. He's going to be looked at. And they're going to reject him. Despite all the evidence that everything they say is a lie. Yeah. So here, he's singing these psalms, but he's not only singing about what would happen to him. Each reference to suffering indeed and distress and conflict that you find into these Psalms is going to be Jesus' own experience in a few moments, friends. And still he sang. And undoubtedly he sang with all his heart, as no one ever sang. Because the Savior is perfectly worshiping God at that moment. And none of us ever do perfectly worship him, even in our best moments. But he did. And you see, not only do these hymns speak about the distress and the death and the suffering, but these hymns also exalted the Lord's promises and his faithfulness and his answers about the deliverances and the exaltations. Look again at Psalm 116, verse 1. He would also sing that, I love the Lord, because he's heard my voice in supplication. Yes. He lives in the faith of the joy that is set before him. That there comes a moment that God as Father would honor all his promises. And the stone that was rejected would become the head of the corner. He knew that. He knew that was going to happen. He knew Psalm 116 verse 7 would also become true. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. And that darkness would disappear. And he would be lifted again into the very embrace of the Father who rejected him. None would have sung these songs ever as Jesus did. He would sing Psalm 118, just the last verses, friends. Look at those last verses as you think of the Savior sitting there. Verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and thou hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. And we always think that's only the day of the resurrection. Is it only? It's every day, isn't it? It's also the day of his crucifixion. The day that the Lord has made. Save now, verse 25. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send prosperity. And then the last verse is the last of the song. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Savior, singing this in the night he is to be betrayed. If I may back for a moment to verse 24, this is the day. What day? Every day, but certainly the first installment of that day is the resurrection day, in a sense, right? When the separation between the shepherd and the sheep will be taken away, and he will again be with them, and he rose from the dead. But there's a second installment coming of this day. That is when all the separated groups that are scattered over the entire world today will be joined together, like we were today. And God will bring all those saints scattered throughout the whole of this earth into one congregation. And what will we sing? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. May this historic moment, as it were, be for us a small foretaste of this, when all the separations will be over between so many of the saints of God scattered in the Reformed or the Presbyterian or the Baptist or whatever denomination with walls in between. No more than when Jesus gathers all his saints in one. Now in conclusion, let us look for a moment at verse 25 and 26. Today is known as Palm Sunday. Children, what does that mean? Palm Sunday. Now, it's just a name. But this is in the historical event of the last week of Jesus today. It would be the first day of the Jewish week. The Monday, we would say. It's when Jesus sat on the donkey and rode into Jerusalem. And people would be standing with palm leaves and clothing on the floor. And as they are there, dancing almost around Jesus, what they sing? Hosanna! Now, Hosanna is the Hebrew for save now. That's actually verse 25 of Psalm 118 that they sing. So look at that verse for a moment. As they are surrounding Jesus on that day, they say, save now! Hosanna! But then they stop. They don't pray the rest. They only pray verse 26, or at least they sing verse 26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Save now. That's what people would sing about their king wishing him health and happiness. God save the king. The queen, as we would in our culture. And so the Jewish would do. Save the king, Lord, and grant him health and happiness. And yet these same people, 6 days later, crucify. But did you notice that though they sang these words, Hosanna, they didn't pray them. They just sang. They didn't pray them. Because they didn't finish the verse either. You don't hear them say, Lord, save us, we beseech thee. Save us, Lord, and send now prosperity. Congregation, let us make this our prayer for this week. Lord, save us. Save us personally. Save us as congregation. Save us from the sin. Save us, Lord, from the shallowness. Save us from the familiarity we have with the blessings. Save us from being so dull. Save us from being so earthly. Save us, O God. You fill it in. Let this be our prayer this week. Lord, save us. Grant us the health and the happiness spiritually. By saving us, we beseech thee, Lord. Be thou our Savior. Be thou our ruler. Take thou us under thy protection. Save us, Lord. Make me thine own. Take me in thy hand. And hold me, guide me, lead me. And then, let us not do what they did on Palm Sunday and skip the second half of that verse 25. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Now, interestingly, that petition first focused on the king. Send prosperity on the king, Lord. Send prosperity on his task. Send prosperity on what he's about to do. Lord, give him a success in all his undertakings. Uphold him and lead him and guide him through this. How sad that they didn't pray that. It shows you that on Palm Sunday they had no clue about Jesus' ministry. They're only looking for political, earthly power, but they're not seeing the spiritual he needed to accomplish. But let it be our petition. Lord, I beseech thee, send our prosperity, not just on us. You know, in all of our prayers, we're so focused on ourselves. This prayer does not mean send prosperity on us. This prayer is send prosperity on him who cometh in the name of the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about my salvation. It's not about my prosperity. It's about God's. Are we on that wavelength? Has that been and is that the focus of our prayer? Lord, send prosperity on thy name, on thy kingdom, on thy cause, on thy gospel preaching. As the word is preached, Lord, send prosperity in the multitude of the subjects is thy honor. Ah, Lord, send prosperity that many may bow their knees and their hearts and their tongues may confess thee. Send prosperity, Lord. Pull down the resistance and the strongholds. Now that's a beautiful prayer for us all to take along. And then that last verse of Psalm 118. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Congregation, may I alert you to the fact the Savior himself quoted that verse. Also, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together not scattered all over the place, but gathered under my wings. And I just see that Savior standing in my mind before that Jerusalem. I would have gathered you all under my wing, but you would not. You refused me. You ignored me. And then notice what Jesus does in verse 38 and 39. Behold, your house is left desolate unto you. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And yo, dear friends, if you seek spiritual prosperity for yourself and for your own family and for our church, and let us raise our voices and pray for the prosperity on our soul, that we with one voice and one heart would raise the roof with, blessed, O God, art thou, for him whom thou sent from the upper room to the lowest hell, for sinners like us. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed art thou, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that thou hast sent thy Son, O God, who came in the name of the Lord, even to us and to so many others. And O God, indeed, we beseech thee this morning, send thou prosperity, and let the cause of thy kingdom, O God, flourish in our midst, in our hearts, in our communities, in our nations. Send prosperity, we beseech thee, Lord Jesus, that thy name may become dearer to us than our life, and thy cause may become dearer to us than our liberty. And that thy truth may become dearer to us than all our possessions. O God, send thou prosperity. We beseech thee. And bless us all this morning as we part from this hour of worship, that our hearts be humble, filled with thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Hear us, we pray. Amen. We'll sing Psalm 318, the first five verses. But one announcement yet. We're sure looking forward to a Good Friday service at 10 o'clock on Friday, the Lord willing. And in the evening, there is a congregational event with singing and sharing. And I really actually thank Harry and Bea for taking the initiative. I'd love to see this initiative taken by the congregation to organize and do things. That's just so wonderful. That's really what we need to do, and really love those initiatives. Instead of us having to initiate it as leaders, we'd love to see the congregation take more initiative, to take ownership of your church and your family, and to invest yourself with whatever ways you can to do for each other. So really lovely. Bea reminded us that we need to take a plate along or something on it, of course, you know, and also reminded to bring your psalters if you want to do a little extra singing. And we need to have a few more psalters as well. So let's now sing together through 318 verses 1 through 5. now stand before the Lord and receive His parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.